Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hi, everybody. We are kicking off our Plan to Profit series. So this is something that I have done, a fifth annual. It's pretty crazy that we've been doing this for 5 years already. And what this is, it actually started as just the way that I plan my next year. And as I started to do this, I started to share it with my mastermind called the Powerhouse Group. And as I started to work with them through it, I realized this is something that I wanted to bring to everybody that listens to the podcast or follows me on social media. So the biggest thing, the reason I call it plan to profit is because a lot of business owners, although it looks like they make a lot of money or people think you overcharge or they think you're making so much money, most business owners are underpaid. Their profitability is minimal and they're not even making the kind of money they would be making if they went to work for somebody else, right? And I really want to make sure that we come back to what really makes a business, and that is making sure you are making more than you are spending, right? And that is not always happening. So I really want to make sure that as we focus on where we're heading in 2021, we remember what numbers matter. Now, the reason I bring that up is because this might be the first time, and actually I'll tell you, in 18 years, this is the first time that I will actually I will gross less money this year in 2020 than I did the previous year. And it's the first time that has ever happened in 18 years. In 18 years, every year I've made more money and more money and more money, or grossed more money every single year. And now with the pandemic, we're not in that kind of situation. Now, the reason I share this is because gross isn't as important as the gross to net, right? So if you're listening and you're like, I don't even know what gross and net means, this is how I always remember it, okay? Gross is all of the money you bring in. So I always think, like, if you're thinking about like an actual net, like a fishing net, the fishing net catches the fish, like it catches the good stuff, right? And all of the gross stuff and things you don't want fall out, right? So gross is everything. Net is what you keep. And this is the first year that we will gross less this year than last year. But remember, that number can just be a vanity metric. The number we want to focus on, the number that you should be really looking at, is the profit margin. So this is the year that profit means more than it ever has, because it's going to take a hit when you start to realize that it may not look as good as last year, but it could still look just as good if you focus on the right number, okay? All right. So let me know who's here. Let me know who's watching live. We are going to jump into what this looks like. So again, this is a 5-part free series. Now today you might be hearing this in a different place than our free Facebook group, but starting next week, lessons 2 through 5 will only be inside of our free Facebook group, the Foot Traffic Community. So if you want to listen to the rest of this, make sure to get in there. And it'll be all saved for you in the unit section. Okay. So today we're talking about you're finding your business model, right? So what I want you to understand here is when you start to look at your business model, you may be in business for quite some time and think like, I've got this down. But what I want you to understand is that anybody that has a business model, right? Like think about it. Blockbuster had a business model, but eventually it wasn't working anymore, right? Like there's so many places that had something special and then it started to lose what was working. So I don't want you thinking, oh, this is too newbie for me. No, this is something that every year you have to ask yourself, do I have the right business model? Do I have the right business model for the upcoming year? Do I need to start pivoting? All of those things, okay? So looking at that, we're going to talk about looking at business structure, okay? So when I say a business model, I'm talking about like looking at somebody's structure and foundation in their business. Foundational principles are always important, right? It is something you always need to be practicing. And I will tell you, the people in 2020 that did not have a solid foundation, you can start to see them really struggling, and they're very, very fragile. And we've got to make sure we get you a little bit more solid, okay? Now, here's what I do. Again, when I'm teaching this, you guys, I am truly teaching you like how I've been working through what I want next year to look like. And I was asking myself these questions to see like what prompted, so I could get that kind of prompted from you too. Okay. So first I ask myself what worked this past year and what didn't. Okay. That is step number one. I want you to start to brain dump this out. I want you to ask yourself like, what worked? Why did it work? What do you think customers liked about it, didn't like about it? All of that. Anything you can think about, throw it down on paper. All right. Now, after looking at this information, I want you to go on a hunt for a business model that excites you. Now, when I say a business model, here's what I mean. A model, for instance, okay, the dictionary definition is a standard or example for imitation or comparison. Okay. So when I say go find a business model, I don't mean create one from scratch. I'm saying don't reinvent the wheel. Go find something that is already proven in the marketplace, right? Business is hard enough. So don't try to figure this out by yourself, right? Don't start from scratch. You don't need to do that. People that have proven business models, they probably struggled a lot in the beginning, but they found their groove. You can fast track that a little bit and cheat a little bit ethically by looking at somebody who you can tell from the outside, or at least you're going to take an educated guess from the outside, that business model is proven and is working, okay? And I'll tell you some ways that I want you to start to look at. How do we know if this is a proven business model that is successful, okay? So knowing that, I want you to go with a proven one, right? Something that is already working for somebody else. When you look at somebody, and maybe I should, before we talk about modeling, there is a big difference between copying, right? And using this as inspiration. You are using this as inspiration and making it your own, okay? Never ever am I going to tell you to go copy or steal somebody else's hard work, okay? But there are definitely things that you can absolutely use as market research to figure out and fast track where you want to be, okay? So what I want you to start to think about, especially because we're doing this in November, and you really have two more months before you need to finalize your 2021 plan. So what I want you to start to do is take some time this month to start to look for other businesses where you might really like the way that they're running, or it looks like there's a couple things I want you to think about. So for instance, look for somebody in your industry that might be a few steps ahead of you, and then look for somebody that is way ahead of you, okay? So the reason for that is I want you to understand, like, what does your business look like in just a few steps ahead? Like, where are you heading, right? But at the same time, if you just keep your head down and you only look a few feet forward, you might miss the big picture. And that's why I want you to find somebody in your space that is also way further ahead of you, so you can start to connect the dots of where you are going, okay? Now, this will change. It's not like I'm just following the same person the entire time and every year I'm just a few steps behind them, right? No. As you start to really look at business models and you start to assess what you like and what you don't, all of a sudden different people will fly on your radar. Now, maybe you have just recently found me. Maybe you had no idea who I was 2 weeks ago or a month ago, right? I have all of a sudden come onto your radar and you may start to like or be inspired by certain things that I'm doing. But in a year from now, you may stumble on somebody else, right? So start to really look at the way that these businesses are using the foundations, are using their business model to be successful, okay? Now, after being inspired by so many different people and looking through these things, what happens is your unique model pops up, okay? So what I want you to understand is that when you are looking at different models, okay, you may have somebody that you really like. If you are familiar with the foot traffic formula that we teach like there is traffic, there is touch, which is lead generation, there is transaction, and there is tracking, right? Those are our four pillars. So for instance, when I say find a model, you might have a model that you really like that is doing phenomenal at driving traffic. You might go, that's the person I want to be modeling for 2021. I love their content plan. I love their social media strategy. I love the way they do XYZ, right? Now, that model might be great for traffic, but you might be going, they have nothing for lead generation. I've been following them for months and I've never once been prompted to join their email list or join their text message list. They've never reached out. I've never officially been a lead, right? You might see that some businesses are really good in certain areas, and it's going to be a lot harder to find one that is well-rounded, okay? So you're gonna find one in that traffic category. You're gonna find one in your touch category. So touch is lead generation, and then transaction. You might think, wow, this person is phenomenal at gathering emails, and I'm on their email list. Their email list is amazing, but they never sell me anything, or I've been following them for 3 years and I've never bought anything, right? How many of you have been following somebody forever, but you have never purchased something from them, right? You have to start to ask yourself, did they even ask me to buy, right? You might realize you haven't bought from somebody because it's just never been proposed. You've never been targeted with a Facebook ad. You've never been fill in the blank. So you're gonna start to assess what you like, what you don't, and then come up with your unique model, all right? So as you do it, here's what I want you to be thinking about or be experiencing. Okay, sorry guys, I'm doing this. Oh, okay, somebody just said, in your own industry or different? So that's what we're gonna cover right now. So things to be looking for. So if you are in a specific industry, okay, like think of, like if I use my dance studio, for example, right? My industry is other dance studios. Now, if you want to really stand out, you're not just going to look at your industry, or you're going to just be a better version than your competitor, right? So what I want you to understand is I want you to think about indirect competitors and direct competitors, okay? So write this down. A direct competitor would be a dance studio and a dance studio, right? An indirect competitor might be like the swim place down the road, right? So do you see how they don't offer dance, but they do offer something for children to be active in, right? So they would be an indirect competitor. Okay, so write down, I need to find direct competitors and indirect. So same thing, you might even want to find in your industry and outside of your industry. Be inspired. First, just open your eyes. Like there are so many things that you are buying as a consumer, and you need to not just be the consumer, but you need to remember that you own a business. When I walk into a grocery store, I can't, like, there's no way that I'm not coming out with a thing where I would say, okay, they should have done this at the checkout, or they should have had this, or I love the way that happened. Ooh, this was really cool. Like I'm constantly seeing this. The next time you walk into a grocery store, you go to the local donut shop, you're at Disney World, like open your eyes to the customer experience. What would you do? What would you not do? These are going to be really great ways to help with your business model as well. Okay. All right. So with that said, you've got to be careful that you do not set your eyes on a business model that excites you, but then you realize the behind the scenes is not what you want to sign up for. So what do I mean by that? Okay. So if you were to find a business model that you absolutely love, and then you realize that the person who owns the business is working 7 days a week, 12-hour days, right? You have to realize that you're probably not going to be able to do that business model well unless you're able to do what they're doing or outsource, right? Or bring on more people. So sometimes when I see, I like it, but I know behind the scenes and I am not willing to do that. Like for me personally, I'm not willing to work Saturdays and Sundays. Like that is time that I spend with my kids. Now, you might be somebody who doesn't have kids, or you have a situation where you don't have them every other weekend or whatever that is. And you might be thinking, no, I'm willing to put in the work. Wherever you're at, that's fine. But I want you to be realistic about what you're willing to give and what you're going to get. So again, if you find a business model or you pick my business model, and you're like, I like what Stacy does, but I'm only going to work an hour a day. Okay, you're probably not going to be able to realistically have the business model I have with an hour a day, okay, without finding somebody who basically can do my job in your role. Does that make sense? So you've got to get realistic, all right? Now, here's how I kind of like do the math or figure out like, is this a working business model? Do I like it? There are a lot of times when you can start to figure out what you think that business is making, okay? Now, I told you in the beginning that most people look at small business owners and they're like, oh, they're making a gazillion dollars. Like, they're just so loaded and I'm putting all this money in their pocket. And we know that that's not realistic. Now, what we do know is we can figure out roughly what they're grossing, okay? We can kind of do the math on, I see these main products or things like that, and here's what I think they're selling, right? Here's what I think they're doing. You can also look at how much you think they're putting in energy-wise and time-wise to see if this is going to be realistic for you or not. Now, be careful that you're not modeling somebody that you think is making less than you. Think about it. Why would you want to model somebody that you are more successful than? It doesn't make sense, okay? Now, I have somebody that will frequently reach out and try to get me to join their mastermind specifically. This actually happens quite a bit, I feel like. People will say, I'm their dream client, right? And I can look sometimes and go, I think my model is working better than their model, and it might not make sense for me to learn from that person, right? However, sometimes I might look at that person and say, my business model is working better, or I'm making more money. However, they are an expert in fill in the blank, and I want to learn that from them, okay? So understand that you might have somebody in that business model that you love for a certain section or for team building or something like that, right? But it may not be the person you're trying to emulate completely, if that makes sense, okay? All right, so another way to kind of figure out how successful the model is, this is another thing I love to do, is I like to look at how big is the team and how fast are they growing? How much are they hiring? Now, when you look at somebody that has a team of 4 people, 5 people, 10 people, 50 people, whatever it is, most businesses that are bringing on new people consistently, they're not going to spend more money on payroll than they're bringing in, right? Most people cannot afford to do that consistently, right? So when you look at the size of somebody's team, you can kind of start to see like, okay, well, they might be, whether it's like, what would be the average pay for this person, or wow, they've got this many full-time people, you'll start to see what you think they might be bringing in. So let's say right now you have 5 full-time employees, okay? And you find somebody that you want to model and they're a solopreneur. That might not be a good model for you, right? So I really want you to start to assess who you should be following, or I should say modeling, right? And how can you make it be your own, okay? If you have any questions, start throwing them in the chat. I have a few more things I want to teach you, and then I'll stick around for some Q&A, okay? All right, another thing I want you to be thinking about when it comes to business models. I believe when we talk about recurring revenue versus promotional revenue. So some of the most fragile businesses during the pandemic are the ones that did not have the reoccurring revenue, okay? One book, if you could please write this down, if somebody could throw this in the chat for me, is a book called Automatic Customer. Such a good book. I highly recommend you read it. Even if you feel like you have the reoccurring revenue, I think it's a great read if you haven't read it before. And if you don't have reoccurring or not enough, this is going to get you convinced why this is so, so important. Every business needs some sort of subscription model, right? Please don't tell me you don't have a business that would work for this, because I have not. I mean, think about it. You can buy diapers on subscription. You can buy deodorant on subscription. Pretty much everything, like your lawn care could be automated, right? Everything that you are selling could be automated. You will be more secure, more successful with reoccurring revenue, okay? Yes, thank you. Automatic Customer, John Warillo, I believe, is the author, okay? So you need assurance, okay? You need assurance that people are coming back every single month. And that alone, if you just took that one tip right there and put it into action in 2021, it could be a drastic game changer for you when you start to get that reoccurring revenue every single month. Now, another thing that I want you to understand is we talked about having different models to follow in our formula, in traffic, in touch, in transaction, in tracking. Another thing to be thinking about is you may have different products, right? And you might have different models for each of your different products. So let's say, for instance, let's just pick like a dentist, okay? So a dentist, knowing that I go to the dentist, so I can kind of guess what the kind of clients they have, right? They've got the person that's coming back every 6 months for the cleaning, right? So maybe they're following somebody, they're modeling somebody that this person, I don't know what you would call them, like the preventative, right? Maybe they've got somebody they're following for their preventative sales, okay? But now I know that the dentist also sells Invisalign and teeth whitening and braces and all of the things, right? They might go, ooh, this business model is going to work better for this upsell of this, right? So again, when you start to really do your research and check out these models, I want you to start to ask yourself, what product makes sense for what model, okay? When somebody comes to me and they say, I'm building something just like Foot Traffic Formula, like that to me is my dream product. Okay, great. You might be modeling that specific program, right? For one of your product suites. But you may not, you might have something else that I don't have, and I might not be a great model for you. You may have to go out and find an additional model for that specific product, okay? Now, don't get too crazy on building out your product suite and thinking like you're just going to keep adding, because we know that having a one thing for the year is going to be so crucial. More on that tomorrow, okay? We're going to talk about like honing in on your bestseller coming up tomorrow. Now, another thing to think about is, I've covered this a lot, red ocean versus blue ocean, another, I think it's just called Blue Ocean Strategy book. But basically the concept is a red ocean is a very saturated market. A blue ocean is, it's kind of like becoming the Netflix when there was only Blockbusters, right? It's an undersaturated market. Netflix is now in a pretty saturated market because many people started to copy and follow their lead. So you've got to ask yourself, you don't want to be copying Netflix. You don't want to be just purposely putting yourself in a red ocean. You want to be leading like Netflix, where they were asking themselves, what can we do to stand out from Blockbuster? Okay. So as you start to model, do not get super excited that you're just going to rip off somebody's model or do exactly what they did. Because if you're in the same industry and now you're copying their same model, but you're behind them in sales, you're just putting yourself not only in a saturated market, but you're putting yourself as probably somebody who's not as credible in that space. So be very, very careful. Okay. And then we covered looking at indirect and direct competitors as well, right? So be careful, because if you're that dentist, right? Yes, you're going to look at other dentists to see what's going on, but you're also going to want to think outside of the box, right? If you're only copying dentists or you're only modeling dentists, you're going to look like every other dentist, right? So you've got to start to go, where can I get outside information to start to make this different? You might be a dentist that walks into a grocery store and you're like, ooh, I'm totally copying this. This is amazing. And no one will ever realize it because it came from a grocery store, right? Whereas if you copy the dentist down the road and somebody switches, they're like, oh, this place has it too. Okay. So you want to start to think about that. Now, we talked about mix and matching models, right? The one thing that I want you to understand is if you start to pick a model for traffic and a model for touch and a model for transaction, right? You start to pick different people. You want to make sure that what you are doing leads nicely, right? So if you pick somebody, like if you copied my traffic strategy, but then you paired it with somebody else's touch, if they don't go together, you're going to see the disconnect. So be really, really careful. You've got to ask yourself, like, who has the better model here, right? So you want to continuously, like, basically look and pick apart privately. You're not publicly sharing this information, but you're picking apart what works and what doesn't, and then you're implementing from there, okay? Oh, I love this. Somebody just said, where should we go to find inspiration? How do we research business models? Okay, so this is a really good question. So first, just be aware, because you're already shopping. You are already a consumer, right? You are buying from maybe a million different places. Go back to your credit card and see, where did you spend money this last month, right? What did you like about that experience? What did you not, right? Anything that you can be doing with the current places you are already buying is going to be massive, okay? Then I want you to ask yourself, what are places that have maybe approached you, you've gotten mail, you've seen a Facebook Facebook ad that targeted you, you are following somebody on Instagram, but you've never bought. Start to assess like why you haven't bought, what has been missing from that model, right? I don't think you realize sometimes how many people or brands or businesses you are coming into contact every single day, okay? So as you're doing that, I really want you to start to make that assessment, okay? Really, and you don't need to give them the feedback or say, well, I really would have done this. No, I absolutely wouldn't. I would be, you know, making those mental notes of, here are some things that I would do, wouldn't do, et cetera. Then if you're really going, okay, but now I actually want to actively do research, what I want you to start to do is go online and search for some of the keywords that somebody would search for you, okay? So let's say I wanted to do some dance studio research. I don't want to do my area because I know my competitors. Maybe I want to pretend like I live in a random suburb That's near like Chicago, Illinois, right? And I find that suburb, like for instance, Schaumburg is one, right? So I type in like dance studio, Schaumburg, Illinois. What pops up, right? What do I like? What do I not? What looks great? When you're talking a local business and it's about an hour and a half away from each other, it's not a big deal, right? Again, model, not copy, right? Now, let's say you're like, no, I need an indirect competitor, okay? Could somebody do me a big favor and post in the chat right now your business and I, or just tell me like what type of business or industry you're in, and I'll give you some examples of what that would look like, okay? All right. Let's talk about some model business models that don't work and that sometimes you need to take a hard look in the mirror of this isn't working, okay? So first of all, this sounds so obvious, but please hear me out. If you're spending more than you're making, all right? Now, I am not talking about the startup business that started this year or in the last 3 years or maybe 5 years, right? 5 years, we're getting there where you should be making money by now. But what I want you to understand is I see this so common. So for instance, let's say you sell a physical product. Let's say you sell a book, okay? You sell a book and the book costs you $4, like hard costs, right? If I were to buy that book, it costs me $4, all right? So I will see business owners saying to themselves, well, I just need to sell it. I just need to break even at $4. Not really, okay? Because you might have to store the book and pay for storage. You might have to ship the book and pay for postage. You might have somebody that spends time that you're paying $15 an hour. They're the ones running to the post office to mail it or whatever it is. And you're not actually checking to see what are the like indirect costs for that book. So be really careful. Now, one of our programs, we temporarily paused at our studio when COVID hit. It was just something where we're like, you know what? Let's just pause on this. We've really got to focus. We've got to stay really lean. We'll come back to it later. And we had the idea of how much profit that that specific program was making us. Now, because we've stopped doing it, my general manager was telling me the other day, she's like, we had no idea how much extra time we were really putting into that program, because now on her calendar, it'll be a reminder like, oh, do this today for that, or like her annual reminder or her monthly reminder about this specific program. When we started to figure out, well, that this is how much it costs, and here's what we pay the teachers, and here's what the supply list is, and we only pay for the front desk, and here's the profit. Oh yeah, but then here are all the admin costs that we were not calculating, okay? So this is where business models can go wrong. You think, no, I'm breaking even, or we're okay. And the breaking even should never be a goal, because you're probably not breaking even. You probably have other things going on, okay? Next one, selling something a customer doesn't want or need bad enough. Okay. Or they just they don't care about it as much. Right. So this happens a lot when somebody will come to me and they're like, I'm selling self-care and I'm having trouble. Okay. Well, because most people don't know they need self-care, right? You got to talk to a specific audience that knows they are actively looking for self-care. Mindset. I can't tell you the amount of people that have no idea they need mindset. So you've got to be careful that you aren't having to considerably spend like a ton of time to educate your customer, right? By letting them know they actually need this thing. So be very careful that if you're struggling selling something, it might be because your person doesn't know they actually need it, okay? Or they don't need it as bad as now that we're in the pandemic, right? They might be thinking, well, this is more disposable income and I don't really have that much to spend on it. So this is not something I'm going to waste my money on right now. So just be really careful. Okay, next one. Third, you got to be careful here with business models. Jumping into an industry where there is massive competitors and you have unrealistic expectations of what it's going to take to compete with this competitor, okay? So let's just say you have a similar model to ButcherBox. ButcherBox is a monthly meat subscription company. I know it sounds weird, but this is just a good example. So ButcherBox is something that I've been using for a long time. Every month they just deliver meat to our house, okay? They're a massive company, massive. So let's say you decide you want to be in the ButcherBox, like same meat industry. what you have to understand is if you don't somehow differentiate yourself from them, it's going to be a really long road ahead. And sometimes I think people jump in and think, oh, I can do that too. Like, no problem. And they have such a massive advantage over you and a massive budget that it's going to be really hard unless you differentiate yourself. So just be really, really careful. Okay. All right. So recap, and then I'm going to take some questions here. So step number one, you're in a brain dump. What worked in 2020 and what didn't? Okay. Then you're going to go on a hunt and get inspired. And remember that you have different models for each product in your product suite, or you have possible different models in the foot traffic formula, whether it's driving traffic, getting touch, getting transaction, or tracking. You are going to check out both your indirect and your direct competitors, and then you're going to put your own spin on it and finalize what your model looks like for 2021. So the reason we decided, let's not do this as a daily challenge. I wanted to go really deep with you this year and give you a whole week to really work through this, to come back next week and focus on the next step, okay? So next week, we're talking about, I said tomorrow, I think I said tomorrow at some point, but it really is next week, Monday. So join us next week for part two, where we're going to zone in on your bestseller. Okay. So some questions here. Okay. So if you are a play space for children 6 months to 6 years old. Okay. So here's what I would say. If you're looking at direct clients or customers, because you're a local business, you do some virtual. So that could be anybody. I would go two routes. I would go online. I would pick, like I said, someplace that you kind of think would be similar to your town, right? I wouldn't go to like downtown Chicago, because downtown Chicago and a local suburb in Milwaukee is very, very different. If I was in Milwaukee, then I would absolutely look at downtown Chicago, right? But I'm not. So if you're like in a local suburb, go find a local suburb in a similar market that you're aware of, maybe an hour or so away, and start to see what they're doing. Then start to look for indirect customers that would compete with you as well, and start researching online. Now, with virtual play space, that's probably a whole new ball game for you. I would go online and start researching virtual, like, I don't even know what I would type in. And I would probably try a few things, like virtual things for virtual classes for ages. I wouldn't say 6 months to 6 years old, but I'd start typing in 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, see what happens and see what you get. Okay. Okay. Nicolette says, I'm likely spending too much time on educating. And that's the thing, you guys, is if you know they need it, but they don't know they need it, you might be wasting your time, okay? Weight loss with intermittent fasting. Okay, perfect. So I would be researching other intermittent fasting programs, and then I would be researching, you're gonna have a couple. I would do that. Then I would look at indirect. I would look at anybody that's teaching weight loss, nutrition, anything like that that isn't intermittent fasting, right? Because it's like your competitor is the keto diet. Your competitor would be like any major diet, right? But then intermittent fasting is a specific, like, what would you call that? A specific activity? I don't know. But some of these programs have intermittent fasting mixed in, right? So Bulletproof recommends intermittent fasting. So it's like somehow they're kind of your complementary competitor as well. So just be careful as you're starting to look. But you might have like a few of these people you want to start to look up and research. It might be like weight loss with no intermittent fasting, weight loss programs with intermittent fasting, right? Complementary or competitive type programs, things like that. You'll want to start to Google. You want to know, what are they Googling? What are the keywords they're using? Okay. Okay. Executive coaching. So first, the one thing that I would do is immediately type in that in Google. What are you finding when you type in the phrases executive coaching? Go down the rabbit hole as if you were the consumer, and you might be surprised where it leads you specifically, okay? Okay, so flower shop. Alyssa, this is a good one, because you've got obviously flower shops directly competitors, right? Then you've got people that might do subscription flowers, right? That send it out, that doesn't have to be local. So I'd be checking out them as a competitor, right? As somebody that could be complimentary. I would also be checking out competitors. Ooh, you know where I would go if I were you? Like 1-800-Flowers. They have, I don't even know, like 10 brands at the top of their website. It's like the chocolate shop, right? Sherry's Berries, like a plant place. Like they have flower, 1-800-Flowers. They have like baskets where it would be, I just could totally hear my Wisconsin accent come out. I'm so sorry. I said baskets, very funny, but like the candy baskets, the wine, all of that stuff. So I would go right to their website and I would be like, who is my competitor, in a sense that not everybody thinks to send flowers when they need something, right? So I'd start to go down a rabbit hole right there. Wedding planning. So obviously, if you're the planner, your direct competitors are planners. But then what is your indirect competitor is anything that they need for a wedding, right? So they might spend way more on flowers or way more on other things that they would want for their wedding, and they don't have a budget left for you. So definitely be thinking about it. Okay, great ideas and steps to think about. Lisa, I'm just happy to hear that. Yeah, so I really want you guys to start looking at, and then what I would do is don't lose this data. Start to make like maybe a Google spreadsheet. I specifically use monday.com, so I'd probably go in there and I would start to come out with my list of all these people. Because what I can do next year is I can go back and see and write little notes. So here's a little trick that I like to do too. I stalk people year to year. So I like to look at, oh, wow, now they added this. Okay, something worked here. Or if I find out that last year they had 10 employees and this year it's like a team of 20, I start to realize like something worked really, really well. When I find out that this person had 5 people last year and now they're down to 2, there's a disconnect. Something happened to their business and they're letting people go because I guarantee like the money isn't there anymore. Something is broken in that business model. So start to come up with these people and start to check on them. What will be sad is next year, there's going to be people that are no longer in business, right? And you'll start to be able to look at, well, what was their model and why wasn't it working? And how do you make sure you are not one of those people that go out of business? Okay. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, so again, this is a 5-part series. Every Monday in the month of November, there are 5 Mondays in the month of November. We're going to be talking about each one of these, okay? Now, with that said, we are going to be figuring out your bestseller next week, figuring out your main focus, creating a strategy for 2021, and finalizing your profit plan. If you want to get in here and you want to make sure to catch up on all 5 videos, it's only going to be happening in our free Facebook group, the Foot Traffic Community. So get in there and check out the units tab. We will save every one of these videos in here for you. Now, being a good video watcher and actually implementing what we just talked about is going to give you a massive difference in results, okay? Who here is committing to doing the work, which is normally not as fun as just watching and moving on with your day, right? But who here is committed, raise your hand, to doing the work and coming back next week with that information ready to go to say, this is going to be my bestseller. This is going to make the most sense for me to go head first into 2021 for the biggest bang for my buck, okay? I really, really want you guys to be thinking about that. Also, if you want to join us for our November boot camp, we do a 30-day boot camp every single month. It's building your first funnel. So if you know you need help getting more traffic, building a sales funnel, getting more consistent leads and sales every day, come join us. It's only $97. You can go to stacytushel.com/bootcamp. This is prep week. So we started already. Today is actually the day that it kicks off. So please come join us. Again, stacytushel.com/bootcamp, $97. There is live coaching in there. You're going to see me 3 times, 3 different hours, and then 2 of my coaches come in there as well. So you have 5 hours of live coaching besides all of the amazing course content helping you build your funnel. Definitely check it out if you have not built one quite yet. All right, you guys, have a great rest of your week. I'm so excited to keep going and doing this work and building upon it. Imagine what it's going to feel like at the end of November to already have this entire thing mapped out, ready to go for January. You might even just get a little jump start on December when you have this plan ready to go, okay? All right, guys, thanks so much. I will chat with you soon. Bye, everyone. Hey, before you go, have you considered joining us in our next 30-day bootcamp? If you are loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, then you will love the Beginner Bootcamp, where we help you build your first marketing funnel in just 30 days, and it's only $97. Hurry and register at stacytushel.com/bootcamp to sign up for our next live bootcamp starting on the 1st.